listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team. And postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter. Make sure you go follow us there right now, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Coming up 20 minutes from now, legendary football, basketball play-by-play man Kevin Harlan will be stopping by. At an hour 20 from now, we'll tap into the Baltimore sports scene and get a little reaction to the press conference that was held today by John Harbaugh and also Eric DaCosta, as we will check in with their morning drive host for Baltimore Radio on the Fan in Rob Long. And then at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific, to preview the 49ers and Cowboys divisional showdown, which concludes divisional round weekend on Sunday. We will welcome in former 49ers defensive lineman in Ian Williams. But first up, producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
Hot Take Hickey.
All righty. Let's start the show today talking about Lamar Jackson and what we heard today from John Harbaugh, what we heard today from Eric DaCosta, the general manager of the Baltimore Ravens. I listened to a lot of those words, and part of me wants to just say, wah, 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 wah. But I do think the Ravens today made it appear that they're, at least optically, are trying to look like the ones who are doing everything in their power to bring back Lamar Jackson. Now, I don't know how factual that is, because we don't know what the contract offer is. We don't know if Lamar feels like they're underpaying him and trying to underpay him moving forward. We don't know the exact details of what the deal could potentially be. But the Ravens today, at a podium, on the dais, sat up there, and they said Lamar Jackson's going to have a role in picking our new offensive coordinator. They said 200% Lamar is our guy. And then John Harbaugh said everything they've done in their building of the team is based off Lamar Jackson. So a few things from that. If they were serious about getting a deal done with Lamar Jackson, it does make sense that he's going to have a say in their offensive coordinator. It does make sense for them to say he's 200% our guy. But that last line of everything we've done in building our team is based off Lamar Jackson, the big question off of that is, does Lamar agree in the approach of building this team? And I know they fired Greg Roman today. I know that Lamar has had a lot of success in this league, but I do believe there's frustration from Lamar Jackson in that he doesn't have a number one wide receiver. And we heard the Ravens before sit up there in previous off seasons and say the typical number one wide receiver that you kind of stereotype that only cares about his target and doesn't care about the team isn't what is going to be cut out and not is what the Baltimore Ravens are looking for. That was said in previous off seasons. But how many times does a receiver become available and Lamar campaigns for that wide receiver on social media and they never get that wide receiver? Now, I know Michael Thomas never got traded, but he campaigned for Michael Thomas. I know Antonio Brown is an absolute clown, but he's campaigned and he has tweeted about Antonio Brown. So So anytime, let's just say, a big name receiver becomes available, Lamar's interested, but it doesn't seem like the Ravens are interested. And really, the Ravens have tried to hit in the draft on wide receivers in the first round or in later rounds. And for the most part, it hasn't worked out. So Lamar is probably sitting there and he's looking at the Ravens as a team that has now waited two off seasons to pay him. And the first time I thought it was the right move by Lamar to wait this off season, I don't truly know who was at fault. And he's also seen this roster where he clearly doesn't like the way that it's built on the offensive side of the ball. And they got to figure out the offensive line. The offensive line has dealt with a lot of injuries the last 2 years. J.K. Dobbins looks like a promising running back in this league if he could stay healthy. We know Mark Andrews is a tremendous tight end, a top five tight end in the sport. But the other guys that he's throwing to at wide receivers, it's slim pickings. And I think the greatest kind of frustration from Lamar that we've seen, and it shows you he's not happy with the wide receiving position on the roster, is when Marquise Hollywood Brown got traded. Marquise Hollywood Brown requested to get traded multiple times from the Ravens. The Ravens claim Lamar was in the know and was in the loop, and he was should not have been caught off guard by the Marquise Hollywood Brown trade at the draft. But I think the bigger thing there is, even though Lamar and Marquise Hollywood Brown were very close and still are, he was so frustrated about Marquise Hollywood Brown getting traded. And if you're being honest, Marquise Hollywood Brown is not a number one wide receiver in this league. But it shows you how bare the wide receiving position is for the Baltimore Ravens, where when you take Marquise Hollywood Brown, who did not want to be there in Baltimore and didn't agree with the approach on offense and didn't think it best suited him, he got so frustrated over a guy that A, is not a number one wide receiver, and B, didn't want to be there. So what was the point in getting frustrated about Marquise Hollywood Brown other than he knows Marquise Hollywood Brown down deep, Lamar Jackson is not that great, but compared to what the Ravens have on their roster, Marquise Hollywood Brown looked a whole lot better than the way that you would look on him, look at him at pretty much any other team in the NFL. So the Ravens today can say how much they want Lamar Jackson, but your actions need to speak louder than your words. Because for the last 2 years, the Ravens have said, we want Lamar to get this deal done. We want to get this deal done with Lamar. It's on Lamar to get back to negotiating tables. And the moment last year when Lamar said in the offseason, I'm ready to get a deal done, a deal never got done. So I don't know what the real root of the problem is, but at least from an optic standpoint today, whether you believe it or not, the Ravens made it appear that they want Lamar Jackson back. Now, down deep, if they don't get a contract done this offseason, that shows that their words weren't that truthful. Or B, Lamar disagrees with the approach of this organization, disagrees with not having a legit number one wide receiver, doesn't like the way that they're running things on the offensive side of the ball. And I know they got rid of Greg Roman today. And maybe Lamar is at a point where he's looking at the AFC, and I know Lamar is a great competitor, but he sees the dominance of Mahomes. He sees the dominance of Josh Allen. He sees the dominance of Joe Burrow. He's looking at Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence on the rise as well. And maybe he's at a point where he knows the organization, even though the Ravens are perceived to be this great organization, aren't putting him in the best position to succeed. And maybe he's at a point where he knows he'll get paid by someone. And maybe Lamar wants to go to the NFC. Because if you go to the NFC, who's in your way? You're not afraid of Dak Prescott like you are afraid of Burrow, Mahomes, Allen. Now, Jalen Hurts have an MVP season. Let's see what he does the next 5 years. Kyler Murray, we got to see what he looks like coming back from an injury. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a long window left. I know Tom Brady's the GOAT, but he doesn't have a long window left. Like, you look around the NFC, it's looking for a face. It's looking for a huge name at the quarterback position for the foreseeable future. And I don't know if Lamar is at that point where he definitely wants to go to the NFC, but I think he is at the point where he doesn't necessarily love being in Baltimore as much as he once did. Now, can a deal get done eventually? I guess. The Ravens made it appear so today, but with how ugly, how messy, how sloppy and how publicly these negotiations have played out the last 2 years, I'm not going to expect, just because the Ravens say we want Lamar Jackson back, that they're going to get a deal done. Because once again, the Ravens last year said, it takes two to tango. It's up to Lamar to get a deal done. Like, when he's ready to get to the tables, let us know, because we've tried. Then Lamar shows up in the offseason and he goes, yeah, I'm ready to get a deal done. Don't listen to that noise that I'm so focused on winning a Super Bowl that I can't also focus on getting a contract done. And for whatever the reasons were, a deal did not get done. Maybe you could say the Ravens are lowballing him. Maybe you could say Lamar Jackson's demands are too high. Maybe you could say also both parties like each other, but they don't love each other anymore. And maybe they're fine with this just naturally playing out, where eventually it will lead to a divorce. So today, it really doesn't change anything for me. I said earlier in the week, I said going back to the draft, I said last week, I said a month ago, 2 months ago, I think this is a marriage that is in therapy right now, and it's looking like it's heading towards a divorce. Now, can something happen in the 11th hour where we get a breaking news alert from Schefter, Pelissero, Rappaport, whoever it is, Glazer, that the Ravens and Lamar Jackson agreed to a long-term deal? Sure. Because it would make sense for both of them to get a deal done. The Ravens have built their entire team around the success of Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, even though he's been hurt the last 2 years, did win a unanimous MVP in Baltimore. And also, we know the Ravens appear to be a good organization. But the Ravens are telling you they want to get a deal done. Lamar has given hints before that he wants to get a deal done. But both sides, through their actions, Lamar and his social media, thinking he's not appreciated, and also the freak out over the Marquise Hollywood Brown trade, and the Ravens, by not giving him that deal yet or getting a deal done, makes me think that these two sides are nowhere close. And if you're nowhere close after 2 years, and if you've gone to therapy and counsels, coupling for the last 2 years, what makes me think that now, this third time, it's going to get done? So that's how I kind of react to all the stuff that did go down today. And here's our poll question today. You can find it on Twitter, at Zach Gelb, at CBS Sports Radio. Do you believe the Ravens will ever get a long-term deal done with Lamar Jackson? 74% say no right now. I think that's telling. Hickey, where do you stand on this? Because I do think both sides have some interest in getting a deal done, but I don't think they're both fully invested in one another like they claim. And I just keep on thinking that what we've seen the last 2 years is the reality. And the longer this goes, the more and more likely I think that a deal is not going to get done. And Lamar, at some point, whether it's this offseason, next offseason, or whatever, is going to be playing somewhere else and is going to get traded.
The words of the Ravens, the actions of the Ravens do not mesh, do not match up. They've been talking about it now for 2 years, getting a deal done. So even though today they sound, we'll say, confident that a deal is going to get done, the reality is they didn't get a deal done last year. This year, your season ends in the same way it ended last year, even though they made the playoffs this year compared to last year, with Lamar not playing the biggest games. I don't see how now that motivates them when they were dragging the feet before to get a deal done now. All the crap they said today honestly goes in one ear out the other. I think there's no chance a deal's done. With the Ravens, at least, and Lamar, this offseason.
So, like, I really do believe it. I know we got to take a break and get to Kevin Harlan. Like, they're trying to tell you 1 + 1 = 3. And, like, they're giving you a really good explanation on why 1 + 1 can equal to 3. But you know 1 + 1 doesn't equal to 3. It equals to 2. Like, that's what's happening here. They're trying to tell you what they want the end result to be is likely going to happen, but it's not adding up because of the actions by both sides. And this has been going on for 2 years. Now you're number 3, and a deal hasn't gotten done yet. So I don't expect it to get done, like you said, anytime soon. And I would be shocked if it does get done. Kevin Harlan joins us next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
We continue. It is The Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's go out to the hotline right now and welcome in one of the all-time greats. That, of course, is Kevin Harlan, who's going to be on the call this upcoming weekend, Saturday afternoon, for Westwood One with the Jacksonville Jaguars going to Arrowhead to do battle with the Kansas City Chiefs. Kevin, always an honor to have you on the show. How you been?
Zach, great to hear your voice, doing well, and looking forward to this divisional round of the NFL playoffs for sure.
So that game that you have Saturday afternoon, we know Doug Peterson knows Andy Reid so well. Andy Reid knows Doug Peterson oh so well. Does it give one over the other maybe an advantage going into this game with how familiar they are?
I don't think so. These coaches know so much about, what other teams do, and they watch so much tape, and Reed's had now, certainly an extra week to get his team healthy and to prepare for a couple of different teams, and certainly one of them was Doug's Jaguar team. And, they faced each other when Doug was with Philadelphia, so they know each other well. You know, Peterson has had the time with Reed and knows exactly how they operate. It's something that I think is certainly a part of the equation, Zach, but nothing that I think can sway it either way. It's going to be clearly the things that each team does well, and I really think they try to stay in their own lane. They know what the other team can do, but I think right now it's like, what do we do best to play at our best? And I think both coaches will take that road before they've continued to, make the team aware of tendencies and things the other teams do. But it's mainly, what do we do well and how can we continue to do that here for another week if you're Jacksonville, and to get the playoffs underway if you're in Kansas City.
We all know how great of a coach Andy Reid is. I still feel, though, as if we don't give enough credit, enough people nationally, to Doug Peterson. We know the level he took the Eagles to, and what he's doing here in year number one with the Jaguars is just so impressive.
Well, you've nailed it. We saw when I was broadcasting last week's Vikings-Giants game, just, what Brian Daboll has done for instance, Daniel Jones, and watched his body of work, knew what he was inheriting when he became the head coach and left Buffalo, and has taken, the strengths of Jones and really mixed them into what the offense he thinks can do well. And that matching is something that I think is hard for a lot of coaches to do, because they've got their own set way of doing things, as opposed to Daboll, who has said, let me adjust to what my quarterback can do, and then I'll go forward. And Reed has done that very well. Now, the difference is Reed is dealing with a generational talent with Mahomes, and I think Daniel Jones was in desperate need of somebody to really get the best out of what he can do well. And that's what Brian Daboll has done. Jones last week was spectacular. He has finished the season very, very strong. And we know that Reed does that with any quarterback he's had, whether it was initially Alex Smith in Kansas City or going back to the terrific quarterbacks he had in Philadelphia. He has always done what the quarterback is best and most comfortable at doing, and then makes the offense kind of revolve around that. Both these coaches have been right on the money. Peterson has done a great job with Trevor Lawrence, and that is probably one of the things he has gotten from Andy Reid, knowing exactly the kind of philosophy that Reid has, and use that with Lawrence, as he did up in Philadelphia when Doug was there with Foles, for instance, and he had to go in and take that team to a Super Bowl. But he tailored that offense so well to what Nick could do there. He's done the same thing with Trevor in Jacksonville, for sure.
Kevin Harlan here with us. Most of the year, I didn't really care about the loss of Tyreek Hill for Kansas City. You knew Mahomes was going to be able to find a way. But as you know, looking at the Chiefs the last few years, they've dug themselves in the postseason games in some big holes, and they had to climb out of it with the big playability of Kelce, who's still there, and then Tyreek Hill, who's not. This is the time where I'm going to wonder how much they actually miss Tyreek Hill, especially if they go down early on Saturday.
Well, Hill was a game changer. You're so right. The whole field tilted toward him. And then when it wasn't Hill, it was Kelce, who's going to the Hall of Fame someday. So, it was such a two-pronged attack that defenses sometimes had their heads swiveling around. They had no idea who they were supposed to cover, where they should be, how they should try to defend these two outliers that were just so good. One so fast that has great ball skills in Hill, and one like Kelce who can, block like a lineman and chip like a lineman, but then certainly find the open gaps with great hands and then the ability to run after the catch. You know, these are two guys that were just so different and so good. Now you've taken one away, Hill. The offense probably isn't as fast. They were hoping maybe that Hardman would have that, that speed to kind of go in that category and run that lane. It hasn't really taken hold. So Juju Smith-Schuster has played well. Kelce has had another 1,000-yard season and is at the very top of his game. And Mahomes has had to adjust a little bit, as has Reed. So they've used McKinnon out of the backfield a little bit more. They've tried to diversify there a little bit and be a little bit more creative. And it's worked. Now, listen, all that puts stress on the offensive line, which I always think of these linemen, because Mahomes is always living for another play to develop. He'll extend the play with his movement. His arm, he knows, can always bail him out. That's hard on an offensive line. But that line has grown so accustomed to it. The receivers, I think, are so in tune with what he wants to do, they'll change their routes midstream. And, of course, Kelce is Kelce, that you've got a team that knows that they can come back. Now, that can also be a crutch, and I think you're alluding to that. Getting behind, that's a strenuous, exhausting experience, regardless of how talented you are. And the Chiefs are incredibly talented offensively. But to continually go down that road, that can wear on you. We saw it last week with Jacksonville. No one expected what they did against the Chargers, and it was miraculous. Really, I mean, to what they did, they kept their poise. They didn't get down. They never lost faith. They kept their eyes straight ahead, and they showed what they can show. Teams go at Kansas City, and the Chiefs know they're going to get their best punch. So I think they're used to sometimes getting the best performance that opponent's going to give. And if they got to fight from behind, so be it. But that gets exhausting after a while. And the better opponent you play, whether it's the Bengals or the Bills or whoever they're going to face, should they beat the Jaguars, there's not going to be a lot of room for error. Last year against the Bengals in Kansas City, they had the halftime lead, and it was sizable. And then I don't know if they took their foot off the gas, exhaled, however you want to, describe it. But Cincinnati, again, had such great faith in Burrow and those great wide receivers, and Mixon last year was just incredible, that they never lost faith in what they do. And that's where that margin of error becomes slimmer, and you cannot exhale. Well, let's see how they do against Jacksonville this week. I think it's going to prove to be a very formidable team to play and beat, as all these teams seem to be in these playoffs. There are no pushovers. You get to this stage, you've earned the right. And if you're hot, like the Jaguars are, Zach, that's even more of an impetus to stay on your game and not let things stray too far away from your sight. You've got to stay on it because Jacksonville has shown that they are now a red-hot team in this league with the way they finished the regular season, the way their quarterback has ended the regular season, and Lawrence with his high quarterback rating, passer rating. This team is playing at a very high level and the best football of their season for sure.
Kevin Harlan here with us. If you were starting a team tomorrow, who would you rather have at quarterback, Joe Burrow or Josh Allen, Kevin?
Well, I like Burrow, and I tended to like him just because the running of guys like Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, and I'm even going to put Daniel Jones now because this has been something, it's been his gateway here for the last handful of weeks. You know, those guys are always in harm's way. Burrow will stick in that pocket, it seems, a little bit longer, hangs in there a little bit tougher, and his body of work from his last year at LSU, Zach, to what he's done in Cincinnati is almost textbook. I mean, it's been just remarkable for where he was drafted, the kind of credentials he was bringing into the NFL, and then how he has responded to me is you know, and he's a leader. He is well-liked, as those other guys are, but he will stand in that pocket and rely on that position, not that he can't run, but a little bit longer than the others who know they've got, you know, this gift of running and use it. I just wonder the longevity, though, of something like that. So even though Burrow has been out with some injuries in his past, a blown knee his rookie year, and he takes his shots, Burrow to me seems like a pretty attractive candidate to begin a franchise with a quarterback.
So you had the Giants last week and what was a great game up against the Vikings. Kevin Harlan is here with us. Now they're going to see the Eagles for a third time in what's going to be a raucous atmosphere in South Philadelphia. Do you think the Giants can continue to keep this magic and this wonderful season alive, or does it end coming up on Saturday night?
Well, they have no pressure on them. Jacksonville has no pressure on them. I mean, they have not an ounce of worry or concern or pressure on them. They're playing with house money. And we use that loosely, but in the case of those two teams, they are. No one really would have thought they'd make it to the divisional round, and here they are. Going on the road and winning against the 13-win Viking team that was 8-1 at home and plays their best football at home and has come back at home regardless of how far they're down. They won. The Giants did. So they've proven a lot to me. I had them late in the season for CBS against the Colts when they had to win to get in the playoffs. And that day, they were almost flawless. And they were virtually flawless against the Vikings again in the wild card round last week. I love the temperament of the team. They've got an elite left tackle. They've got an elite running back. Their quarterback is playing within his game plan. They have three reliable receivers who are basically brand new since midseason. They're relying on a rookie, and he has answered at tight end. And they've got some wonderful parts in their defense, including, you know, their all-world Dexter Lawrence in the middle of that defensive line. I really like them. I think Landon Collins, and now they get McKinney back a couple weeks ago, those have been two nice additions here at the last half of this season, last quarter of the season, for the Giants. They seem to be building momentum. I think Wink Martindale, their defensive coordinator, knows exactly what he's got and is not afraid to dig deep inside his bag and figure out something new. He called, I thought, a great defensive game plan against the Vikings this past weekend. And we talked about Dable earlier and what he's done with Jones and constructed the offense. And Mike Kafka has been calling great plays. I have a real belief in the Giants. Nothing would surprise me in this game whatsoever. We really don't have the complete full disclosure on the shoulder of Hurts. They may say he's ready. He may say he's fine. You just never know until you get in the heat of the game, until he takes a couple hits. And listen, they're the team to beat. And everyone's talking about a San Francisco-Philadelphia NFC Championship game. And I don't think they're far off. But the Giants will not go down easy at all. But nothing would surprise me in the Eagle-Giant game this weekend. Nothing.
And I also think, Kevin, and I usually never trust what I call the drama Dallas choking Cowboys, but I think the Cowboys are very much alive up against what is a great Niners team.
Well, we'll find out what this young quarterback in San Francisco, Zach, is all about. There's no doubt that the Cowboys gained incredible confidence with their win in Tampa Bay, even though the Buccaneers, clearly from top to bottom, were not probably worthy of that position out of a weak division. But there was Brady, and you're playing on the road, and you just never know. But they answered that. They checked that box. So now in a kind of a short week with travel, they go out to the West Coast, and they're going to play against the Niners, who have, it seems like, every box checked. defensively as good a defense overall from tip to tail that you'll find. Offensively, they've got weapons everywhere you look. The McCaffrey deal at midseason was terrific, and the quarterback has not failed. The quarterback has stayed in his lane, and he has done well. You just wonder, when will it run out, or will it run out? He is redefining how they thought that position would look in San Francisco. And you've got, I think, one of the best play callers in their head coach, Shanahan, at the controls. So that's going to be very difficult for the Cowboys. But when you win on the road and when you stay in routine and again have to play with all the things of going away from home, which the Cowboys will do again this weekend, that's pretty intriguing, isn't it? That's a very interesting game. Perhaps the most interesting of all the games this weekend. The Bengals and Bills clearly has a AFC championship feel about it. But you got to include Kansas City in that. But these two teams, Dallas and San Francisco, to me, seem to be, this really has so many different ways it can go. I can't wait to watch it.
On the way out with Kevin Harlan, the future of the two elder statesmen in the NFL at the quarterback position. Brady, do you think he's back next year? And how about Aaron Rodgers? Will he be back in Green Bay?
Well, I think Rodgers will be, and something tells me Brady's going to be back, but I'm not sure if it's with the Buccaneers. But the Packers want Rodgers back. He was dealt a shorthand. He did not have anything close to what he needs to operate at wide receiver. I mean, even just under ordinary circumstances, like if you just took a middling receiving core, I mean, I don't even know if the Packers as a group approached that, quite frankly. And that's what Roger, two rookies and just not a lot of flash. And all he needs is one, because he'll make the others good and they'll get good. But if you can just take some unwarranted attention off of just ordinary receivers or young receivers who have yet to reach the potential, that was what Rodgers was facing all the time. And I just didn't think he had a full hand to play in his card game. They'll have another year under him. I'd like to believe the Packers are going to go after some free agent receiver and try to rectify that position. He deserves it. Rodgers deserves more talent at that position. He did not have it this year, and they probably thought that he could make these receivers better than they were. But it's got to be a two-way street, and they were spoiled with Devontae Adams, and they've had other receivers that were good secondary guys. But when you get in that main role, man, it changes. It changes when you go from assistant coach to head coach. Well, it changes when you go from number two receiver to number one. You're facing the number one cornerback. You're facing a lot of eyes on you. And then when you go down the list, you've got inexperienced and unfulfilled guys trying to go in there and work. And Rodgers was dealt that hand. And in a lot of ways, even though we had very good running backs, I just didn't think it was right. But I think he still has, one hope for one more hard, good run, and I think he's coming back. And as for Brady, I think he still wants to play. Some of his passes that you saw the other night were terrific. I just, we saw today that the offensive coordinator was let go in Tampa Bay. Do you see Brady working with a new guy? I don't know. Couple teams could go in there and look at him. Maybe Vegas, maybe Miami, who knows? But I do think both are coming back, yes.
Kevin Harlan, appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much. Have a great call tonight and also coming up this weekend.
Thank you, Zach. Always fun. Take care, my friend.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. When we look at the matchups this weekend, in the AFC, Saturday, you have the Jaguars in Kansas City. Then for the AFC on Sunday, you know, you got the big matchup on Sunday afternoon between the Bengals and the Bills. And in the NFC, Saturday night, Giants going to Philadelphia. And on Sunday, early evening, here on the East Coast, you will have the San Francisco 49ers hosting the Dallas Cowboys. Hickey, I'm going to ask you a question here, and I'm just fascinated by your response. In the AFC, who is the coach this weekend under the most amount of pressure?
Andy Reid. Can't lose to the Jags at home. Can't do it.
Okay. Who is the quarterback under the most pressure in the AFC this weekend?
Josh Allen.
Gotcha. My answer for quarterback was the same as yours in Josh Allen. Because Josh Allen this year has all been about what? Winning the Super Bowl. And if you played poorly, which you did last weekend at times, getting the Dolphins back into the game with the turnovers, and then you lose to Joe Burrow, it's another failed year. Not that every year was a failure for Buffalo in which they didn't win the Super Bowl. Last year was. And this year, without a doubt, it was Super Bowl or bust. They've done a tremendous job building the team and getting the team in a position where you think they could win a Super Bowl. This year, they were almost everybody's Super Bowl pick. If you go home in the divisional round, it's disappointing. Coaching-wise, though, I went with McDermott as well. Now, you say Andy Reid, and you can't lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Sure. But if Andy Reid does lose this game, still has the Lombardi Trophy, still is going to the Hall of Fame, could there be more people that pop back up like how I used to be years ago and say Andy Reid is a really, 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 really good coach, but look at all these postseason blunders? Sure. And you could say if he finishes career and we don't know when he's going to retire with only one Super Bowl now, which is funny how that could be the conversation. When you have Patrick Mahomes, that would be a little bit disappointing. It would feel a little Rodgers-like, the way that we've been talking about Rodgers. So I actually believe, even with all that being said, that it's still McDermott in the AFC. Because Zach Taylor last year got to the Super Bowl. Doug Peterson, it's all gravy from here. Andy Reid, he's just so accomplished already, where McDermott, once again, is just like Josh Allen, done a great job building this thing. Done a great job getting them into this position. Now it's time to go win. Like last week, I'm not going to hold it against you. It's Miami, whatever. It's divisional game. Closer than what it should have been. I never thought they were actually going to lose the game, even when the Dolphins are driving late. This weekend, though, this is up against the Bengals, who are the reigning AFC champions. You're at home, too. You got to beat them. Like, I'm not saying, and like, there's different ways to define pressure, right? Like, who do we think has the most to lose? And then if you're going to lose your job. Like, none of these coaches this weekend. I don't care if the Bengals lose by 40, the Bills lose by 40, if the Jaguars win by 40 or the you know, like, whatever. None of these coaches, regardless of the outcome this weekend, with the jobs that they've done, are in danger of getting fired. I'm just looking at, come Monday, when we get on the air, and I'm looking at if this team loses, what's the biggest story? And you may be right. Like, that could be the lead if the Chiefs go down to Jacksonville, because it'd be the most stunning. Like, at least Buffalo and Cincinnati, they're even teams. But this entire year, it's all been about, can this be the year that Buffalo wins a Super Bowl? And if they lose the division round, it still shows you they got some work to do. Now, let me ask you this in the NFC. Who is the quarterback this weekend under the most pressure in the NFC when you look at Dak up against Brock Purdy? And then you also have Jalen Hurts hosting Daniel Jones. And I see you take a big sigh. I know where the hickey sigh comes from. Because for you, it's between two people, I would imagine. It's between Dak And it's between Jalen Hurts because of the health, and we don't know where the health is.
That is correct. And because the health is in question, I don't think he's anywhere near 100%. I will put the pressure on Dak. I think you can use the injury excuse for Jalen Hurts, and Dak's going to have to do more in order for the Cowboys to beat the 49ers.
I want to agree with you, and I was about to agree with you, but the 49ers, even though I think the Dallas Cowboys are very alive to win this game, the 49ers are expected to win this game. And sure, it's right, America's team, and I said that in air quotes, and it's the Cowboys, and if they lose on Monday, everyone's going to be talking about Dallas going down, especially if it's in embarrassing fashion, and it's in a moment like last year where they messed something up, or it's something with controversy. The reason why I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts is I'm just thinking about this. Like, if the Cowboys lose to the Niners, and let's say they lose by 3 points, to me that's not embarrassing. And I'm not taking anything away from what the Giants have done. The Giants have been a remarkable story this year. They've been a wonderful story this year. But if you have the season that you had, if you're Jalen Hurts, even with the injury, and not knowing where he's going to be, if they lose to this Giants team, that to me is tougher to justify, even with the injury to Hurts, than if, let's say, Dak loses like he's expected to lose this weekend. The Eagles are the number one overall seed at home with a team that if Jalen Hurts didn't get hurt, maybe they only have one loss. Maybe they only have two losses max. They lost both those games when he was out. So that's why I think the quarterback under the most pressure, even though he's had a wonderful season this year, is Jalen Hurts, because that team relies on him so much. Like, and if he's not a threat to run, yeah, they have a damn good roster, but that takes away such a big part to the Jalen Hurts game and what makes Jalen Hurts such an attractive quarterback. So I go Hurts slightly over Dak, but I don't think you could pick wrong either way in talking about which quarterback is under pressure between those two this weekend.
But that's the thing. Like, he's hurt. How much can we actually criticize Jalen Hurts for having a bad game? Like, that's where you're right. Like, the Cowboys, I think, will lose. And you know what I mean? I think the Cowboys
100%.
Will lose handily.
Yeah.
So my, you know, it's not like I have a lot of faith in the Cowboys, but if Dak throws two picks, struggles, what's the conversation going to be on Monday? Oh,
good,
the Cowboys
great.
Truly Fair. Have their guy. Like, now all of a sudden that Buccaneers wing goes way down. Oh, they're 8-9, not very good. Who really cares?
Now, sensible fans, if Hurts plays poorly, may talk about the injury. But wouldn't some fans that aren't sensible, and there's a lot of fans that aren't sensible, would say, oh, last year he played fine, and then in the postseason got exposed. This year, another playoff spot, got exposed. Like, we sometimes give fans too much credit on how they're going to break this down, if they're going to break it down fairly.
I guess, but again, like, if it's obvious that he can't run the ball and the offense changes because he's, you know, laboring with his right
to
shoulder,
you,
I think
maybe.
It's pretty clear that, hey, this guy's hurt. Now, again, that people may not care, but I think it's just a fact.
And by the way, if you're a Cowboys fan listening, Ryan_Hickey3 is his Twitter account. Somehow, some way, if the Cowboys win, please, please, please direct a lot of tweets to Ryan_Hickey3.
Don't got to worry about that.
Who's the coach under the most pressure this weekend?
Nick Sirianni. Because even with Jalen Hurts, you have a better roster than the Giants. You have to find a way. You've had an extra week. You have to find a way to beat the Giants.
Now you're using my argument on me. I'm actually going to say it's Mike McCarthy. And I know that could contradict everything I just said. And for you, it kind of contradicts everything that I was arguing the other way. I'm just looking at it in terms of two things. Well, really one thing. I think he's safe. But if they lose an embarrassing way, like Sirianni's not losing his job. Daboll, we know, is more than safe. Hey, the more wins he keeps on piling up, according to Colin Coward, he just keeps on getting more and more years on that contract. And we know Kyle Shanahan's done a wonderful job. If McCarthy loses in an ugly way this week, like the team's not prepared like last year, there's a blunder at the end, or they just get blown out, even though I think he's safe now, I wonder how I would talk about that on Monday, and it would make me think he's unsafe. Because Sean Payton's one phone call away. I think McCarthy's a better coach than Dan Quinn, but everyone slobbers over Dan Quinn. If Dan Quinn's about to go to Denver, maybe Jerry says we don't want to lose Dan Quinn. I don't know. But McCarthy did a great job. Dak did a great job last week. If they lose this weekend, close, I don't think it's a bad look. But if they lose in either an embarrassing way or they get blown out, I do believe there's a 24-48 hour watch period on if Mike McCarthy is going to get the axe. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back on the Zach Gelb Show, some demands by Sean Payton. And also, a phone call that has been placed to Sean by a certain player that I think is very, very interesting. We get into those stories next when we return in 5 minutes.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.